Good morning, Rabbosai. Thank you so much for joining us in our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. We are in the beginning of Simen Vav. We did Sif Aleph last week, and the topic. Good morning, Rabbi Moshe. The topic. Good morning, Mr. Sporn. The topic of the Simen that we're dealing with now is Kohanim marrying those whom they are not allowed to marry, and Kohen's not allowed to marry Grusha. We talked about that at length last week. We're now, this morning, I would like to move a little bit quicker, or a lot bit quicker. Instead of just doing one sif as we typically do, I'd like to go through about four sifim. The first three of them we'll do very briefly, and the last one we'll focus more on. We will focus on more. I didn't call anybody any names, don't worry. So the first sif talks about an interesting situation, which, again, is not as halacha l'maisa practically, so we're going to go over it very quickly. And that is, we know that when a young lady below bas mitzvah, a young lady below bas mitzvah is allowed to be married off by her father, and if her father marries her off, she is married midoraisa. So I have a 9-year-old daughter. If I want to marry her to somebody, I could simply a shava pruta from him and marry her and give my daughter to that man, and she'll be married midoraisa, and she'll require a get midoraisa if that marriage was to end. Now, if God forbid the father dies and leaves, you know, the brothers, the older brothers, the mother in charge of their younger sister, younger daughter, and they marry off their younger sister or young daughter, then that is a kiddushin d'rabbanan. Chachamim wanted to make sure that girl, you know, young Jewish girls would be cared for by a husband, by a Jewish husband. So they gave, where the father is not around, they gave the older brothers or the mother of a young Jewish girl the authority to marry her off. But it's only a marriage midrabbanan. And therefore, the way that young girl would exit such a marriage, if she finds this person who married her in her youth to be distasteful to her, she could just do miyun. That's the concept of miyun that we're going to talk about right now. The question that we're going to raise is the following. Let's say a woman, a young girl, a 9, 10, 11-year-old girl, is married midrabbanan because her father died and now her brothers or mother married her off. She's married midrabbanan. And she does miyun to this guy she was married to midrabbanan. The question is, after she does miyun, is she allowed to marry the relatives of her husband whom she just did miyun to? That's a great question. Meaning, if you're married to a woman and then you get divorced from that woman, you can't go ahead and marry your ex's mother, sister, daughter. However, good morning, Mr. Belsky. Good to see you. However, here we're talking about a case where the original marriage was not midoraisa. You're only married to her midrabbanan. And then when she does the miyun to exit that marriage, is she now, is this girl, is she allowed to marry the father of her ex, the brother of her ex, the son of her ex? Because they were never really married midoraisa. That's the topic of this Mishnah Nifamis. Let's look at the Mishnah Nifamis. Mishnah Nifamis says, Hamema'enes be'ish. A girl who does miyun in her husband to whom she's married midrabbanan, believe it or not, it is not like a get. It is not considered to have been a real marriage. Hu mutir b'krovav seha, v'hi mutaris b'krovav. So this girl, who's now an ex to her ex-husband, midrabbanan, she's allowed to marry all of his relatives. She could marry her ex's father, brother, son. And the ex, the guy, the husband of this marriage, midrabbanan, is allowed to marry her mother, her sister, her daughter. Why? Because they were only married midrabbanan, and a miyun makes it as though, listen to the next three words, they were never married. Four words. Miyun is different than a get. A get means there was a marriage that ended. Miyun, when a girl, a ketana, does miyun, it makes her as though she was never married in the first place, and therefore each one of the two parties are allowed to marry the relatives of their ex, because they were never considered to have been married in the first place. That's a kula of miyun. That's a kula of a marriage derabbanan that is dissolved via miyun, is that they were never considered to have been married, and therefore the ex could marry the other ex's relatives, which you don't have by a divorce. Based on what we just said, you could appreciate the next four words of the Mishnah. Let's say you had a guy who gets divorced from his wife. That woman is a grusha. Good morning, Rabbi Weiss. If you have a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. But if she was only married midrabbanan and she got miyun, you remember what I just said? Miyun is not considered divorce. It's considered to have undermined the marriage so that the marriage never occurred. It's like she was never married, even midrabbanan, and therefore she does not become pasul kahuna. Meaning, she was married. She got married when she was 9. She was with this guy for 2 miserable years till she was 11. When she was 11, she did miyun to the guy. They're considered to have never been married, and she is not a grusha. And she is not pasul kahuna. She is allowed to go ahead and marry Mr. Cohn. Okay. That's if miyun happened. Let's say, you know, she got a little bit older. Let's say she's not the one who ended the marriage on her own volition. She didn't do miyun. Rather, the man wants to throw her out. He's stuck with this 9-year-old girl. He put up with her for a year. She was a little bit immature, but he figured she'll mature. She turns 10. She's still immature. She turns 11. She's still immature. He says, I can't handle such an immature wife. I want to divorce you. So how does a man end this marriage relationship? A man can't do miyun. The man is going to have to give his wife a get, even though she's only 9 years old or 10 years old. Albeit, they're only married midrabbanan, and therefore it'll only be a get midrabbanan. But if he gives her a get doesn't operate the same way as miyun. Whereas, miyun makes it like they were never married in the first place. It undoes the marriage meikara. A get just stops the marriage where it is. They were married for 2 miserable years. She's still immature. She's still a kid, and he can't deal with her immaturity. So he'll give her a get, albeit only midrabanan. That's a get. And it's going to carry with it all the halachas of a get. And therefore, nasan la get, when the husband gives his young wife a get, even though it's only get midrabanan, because they're only married midrabanan, she's a katana, hu asur bikrova seha, he's not, this ex-husband is not going to be able to marry her mother, sister, daughter, v'hi asur bikrovav, and this ex-wife, this 9-10-year-old girl, is not allowed to marry her exes, father, brother, son, and most importantly for our topic, upasla min hakuhuna. Even though it's only marriage midrabanan, but since he gave the get, we will consider it at least a get midrabanan, and she's a grusha midrabanan, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen. That, until here, is simple. All we said is that there are two ways to dissolve a kiddushin drabanan, and it depends who's doing it. If the girl does it and it does miyun, that makes it as though there was never a marriage. If the husband does it, he has to give a get, and it makes it that there was a marriage, and it's a get, midrabanan, and it carries all the halachas, the chumras of a get. Now we're going to get into an interesting case. Let's say, again, you have your 9-year-old girl get married. At 10 years old, the husband says, I can't deal with your immaturity, I'm giving you a get. Then, when she's 10 and a half, he realizes, you know, my 9-year-old wife that I divorced, I realized maybe she'll grow into it. If I give her another year, maybe she'll grow. So he takes his wife back. Nasan lo get vechzira, says the Mishnah. He gave her a get, his 10-year-old wife, and he took her back when she was, I don't know, 10 and a half. And this time, she got married to him again, a second time, midrabanan, because her father's dead. And after living with him for another year, she doesn't think he's fun. She wants an exciting young husband. This guy's already 15 years old. He's boring. So she does miyun. She leaves him. V'miyunabo. And then, after this miyun, look what happens. V'niseis la'acher. And she now marries a second husband entirely. V'nis'armela uniskarsha. And she gets nis'almena uniskarsha. Now the question will be, is this girl allowed to go back to her first husband? We know that there's a halacha of machzer grushaso. Normally, machzer grushaso is, if I divorce a wife, I'm allowed to take her back. But if I divorce a wife and she marries someone else in the interim, then I cannot take her back. What happens, this mission is asking, if the original husband was only married midrabanan and divorced her, but afterwards took her back and she did a miyun. So she was married twice to this first husband. Once ended by divorce. And once it ended when she was mimayin and she escaped him by doing miyun. Now, you remember what we said miyun does? Miyun makes it as though you were never married in the first place. Okay, so it's as though she was never married in the first place. Now she goes ahead and marries a new guy. Could she go back to that first original husband? I would think definitely not. But the Mishnah is going to say, since the first marriage was dissolved, the first husband, the marriage to that first husband was dissolved with a miyun, it's as though she was never married to him in the first place. And even after she marries a new guy, Mr. Number Two, she's allowed to go back to that first husband because she was never considered to have been married to him in the first place. That's an incredible chiddush. Muteres lachzer blo. She's allowed to go back to that first husband. And Rashi explains, afal gav dim lo hechzira. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a woman, a 9-year-old girl, who got a get from her husband. She got a get from her husband, and now she marries another man. Is she allowed to marry her first husband again? No, definitely not. Maybe Drabanan. She was only married to the first husband, Midrabanan. But she was married to a man. She got a get from him. Now she's a grusha, albeit Midrabanan. Now she marries another man. She's not allowed to go back to her first husband. You're never allowed to go back to your first husband. But here, the chiddush is, what was the case? The case was, she got a get from her first husband, but then she remarried her first husband and left him a second time with a miyun. That miyun makes it, the miyun cancels out a previous get. Incredible chiddush of the Mishnah. The miyun that she does to her first husband on the second marriage to that first husband cancels out the get that she got from her first husband as though she's not a grusha anymore. And therefore, she's allowed to, if she goes and marries a second guy, she'll be allowed to marry her first husband again because the miyun dissolved what was previous. It's as though she was never married to that first husband. She was only married to the second husband. And she's not considered machzor grushaso to marry her original husband. Okay, let's jump. This does not happen too often. Most of us do not marry our 9-year-old daughters. Most of you don't even have daughters who are 9-year-olds. I'm the only guy who still has a 9-year-old daughter who can marry off. So if anything, it's halacha for me. So I'll learn the halacha and we'll move on in our shiur for everybody else. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Ketana, shemiyana bebaila. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is Sif Beis, and then we'll jump on to Sif Gimel, because this is not so halacha ma'isa. Ketana, who again is married midrabanan to her husband, because her father dies, so her elder brother or mother married her off, so she does miyan. The miyan cancels the marriage, though she was never married, and therefore she's not a grusha, she's muteres lekohen. However, let's say she did not opt out of the marriage, but her husband, albeit midrabanan, pushes her out, and therefore gives her a get, then, vimnasin laget, she will be a grusha midrabanan, because she was only married midrabanan, and she'll be asura to a kohen. Fine. And now the more complicated case that we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah. Vim achash nasan laget. When the original husband, who's married to her midrabanan, gave her a get, then took her back as a second marriage, umiyanabo, and she left him with miyun, the miyun will cancel everything that was before it. Muteres lakoin, she's not considered a grusha, shehamiyun mevatel haget. The miyun that she does to the second marriage to her first husband cancels the first marriage, the get of the first marriage to that same husband. And therefore, v'im achar shegarsha nisis la'acher umyanabo, yesh mi she'omer shemoteres la'kohen, miyun is mevatel, whatever is before it, we're not going to go into that more. That's a fascinating kula of miyun, that miyun is not like a divorce. Divorce is the end of a marriage. Miyun uproots it as though there was never marriage mitchila. Great. We are finished with that sugya. I assume we don't have any questions about miyun. Okay, let's now go to the next if. There's always someone like that. Let me ask you a question. Excellent question. Let's say there's a woman who's been married to 17 husbands. Each one of them died. Is she allowed to marry a Kohen? Agreed. Okay, she killed all 17 of them. Okay, fine. Well, so is the 17th and the 16th and the 15th, but, you know, men do that sometimes. Yeah, I know, katlanis, but you see the point. The point, there are halachas. Dr. Jared, the point that I'm saying is there are halachas. There's a halacha talk called grusha, lekohen hedyot, zona. If she's zona, she's a zona. If she's not a zona, she's not a zona. If she's a grusha, she's a grusha. If she's not a grusha, she's not a grusha. So we deal with the halacha. Whatever her halachic status is defined as, is she allowed to marry or not? And that's how we'll deal with the case. I agree that, yes, she's been around. Yes, she had many husbands in the past. And we're not blaming anybody, but we just have to figure, is she a grusha or a zona or a chalala? Then she can't marry a kohen. If she isn't any of those three, then she can marry a kohen. Okay. Yes. Why shouldn't men? Yeah, I'm sure men happened all the time. In the olden days, when they used to marry, you know, Tosus writes that in the olden days, they used to marry their daughters off very young because they were worried, you know, there were drafts, there were conscriptions. You know, you were scared to leave a girl out. You know, she might be grabbed by the local sheikh or the local bishop or who knows what. So the Jewish communities wanted to marry off their daughters very early. That's one of the reasons why they made arranged marriages, even from much earlier, even, you know, as early as birth, is because they didn't want they wanted the girls even below bas mitzvah to be married, so there'd be someone to protect them. So I could see very much that there were cases of, you know, marriage midrabanan because the father died, so the girls, the mother, the sister, or the brothers had to marry her off as a katana, and she can't stand them, so she has a way to opt out. Sure. I'm sure there were plenty of immunes. Not in our society, but in a society where marrying off young girls were necessary to protect them, I'm sure there were immunes. And it's nice in a certain sense, because once you marry midaraisa, it's a little bit of a one-sided relationship, meaning the only one who can end the marriage is a man. Here, at least, the woman, the katana, could end the marriage just as equally as the husband. If she doesn't like him, she could just do immune and escape her marriage. Escape a rotten marriage. Once she's married midaraisa, then it's then she needs her husband to be willing to give her a get. It's more complicated. No. Since she was a katana who was married off by her father, by her brothers or mother, she was never married midaraisa. So that get was for a marriage that was only midrabanan. So a get on a marriage midrabanan is only a get midrabanan. And a get and a miyun that comes after get midrabanan cancels out the get midrabanan. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. We're only talking about a get midrabanan here. In other words, if a katana is married off by her father, that's a kiddush midaraisa. If the father's alive and marries off his 9-year-old daughter, she's married midaraisa, and she needs a get midaraisa. We're not talking about that case. We're talking about a case where the father died, and the mother or the brothers, the elder brothers, marry off their daughter or their sister, and that marriage is only midrabanan. If the husband doesn't like his 9-year-old wife that he married midrabanan, then he could get rid of her by giving her a get, but that get will only be midrabanan. And if he marries her a second time and then she does mian, that mian will make it as though they were never even married the first time around. That's the power of mian. And therefore, she will not be considered grusha, even midrabanan. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Okay. The next three se'ifim, Sif Gimel through Sif Hei, talk about the halachas of a kol. If there's a rumor that a certain woman is a grusha or something of that sort, then do we concern ourselves with this rumor and allow a kohen to marry this woman? So again, these aren't the most common halachas, but imagine your last name is Cohen or Katz and you're going out with a girl. You heard a rumor that maybe she was married before and somehow you can't get out all the information from her. So do you have to be worried about these rumors? Okay, so let's look at a Gemara in Gittin. We'll just look at the Gemara and then jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch. Yatza alav kol Ish ploni kohen kasav get l'ishto. I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara that we're going to see is a little bit different than what I described to you. We find, we hear a rumor that so-and-so, Mr. Cohen, divorced his wife. It's just a rumor. But yet we see that he's living with his wife. They're still living together. We see them driving together and living in the same house. V'yosheves tachtov mishamashto mahu. In fact, the Rashi explains the Gemara's question. Mimafkinu lamine mishum kala? Should we, if there's a rumor that he gave her a get, and now they're together, should we, separate them forcibly? Should we force them away from each other? Shlo yomru girsha v'chzira v'nim tzikoyim achzir girshazu, because otherwise maybe it's okay, maybe he took her back. And a Kohen, we know a Kohen who divorced his wife, cannot take her back. Kohen can't take any grusha, even if it's his own grusha. I actually, at one point in my journey through life, had a neighbor who was a Kohen, and he divorced his wife. And the way they divorced, at the advice of the Rabbanim, he didn't give her a get right away. He gave her, they divorced and they separated, and they basically, she lived with that again until they were absolutely, more than certain that they were never going to get back together, nothing's going to be reconciliated, and, she was already wanting to go out with other men. Then he gave her the get because you don't want to, if there's any possibility, even if you hate your wife and you divorce her, but sometimes people reconciliate, people reconcile. So if it would be a Kohen, he would be stuck and he wouldn't be able to. So we always delay giving a get when it comes to a Kohen divorcing his wife. Here, we hear a rumor that he divorced his wife, yet they're living together. Should we be concerned that he took her back? That he married her and they're living be'isser? So do we have to get involved in such a, if we just heard a rumor? We don't know for sure that he divorced her. We heard a rumor that he divorced her. Is a rumor sufficient to get the community involved in separating these two people? That was the Shaila. Yes. That's not a, that's a Dindra Banan. Yeah, sure. But if he decides that he wants to, get back together, then he could take her back. Meaning, if a regular person gets divorced from his wife, and they're divorced for 7 months, and he finds that it's even worse living alone, and this a lot of people have, many divorcees have this experience. They think their marriage is so terrible, so they get divorced. Then they realize that living alone is even worse than living with their miserable spouse. They'd rather be married to their miserable spouse than live alone. So a normal person could remarry, but this Kohen cannot. That's the, and here the question is, but we see that they are together, but we don't really know if they got divorced. They just, The halacha that you're mentioning and the halacha that we're talking about are two separate halachas. The halacha that you're mentioning is a true thing, that when it comes to divorce, when a couple knows that they are definitively, or when a man knows that he is definitively, unquestionably, never gonna, he's getting divorced and he knows it 100%, and these shailos come up halacha l'maisa, to be honest. But it's only if you know 100%, there's no question in your mind, you're getting divorced, period, no ifs, ands, or buts, no chance that you're going to make up and get together, that then you're not allowed to live with your wife. But here we're talking about a case, there was a rumor that he gave his wife a get. We don't know, we don't know if it happened, it's a rumor. The get, yeah, they were separated, they were living somewhere else. So in a case, no, it was a government. They weren't living together. They didn't continue to married life. They were separated. They were living as though they were divorced. They were legally divorced. It's just they didn't give a get in case they might ever reconcile. They weren't living together. If a get wasn't given, he can reconcile. No, that's not correct. If a goin never gave a get, he could reconcile with his wife. If a person decides to give a get, he could change his mind. If a person decides to give a get, he's no longer allowed to be with his wife. If he didn't give the get yet, and 3 weeks later he decides he wants to get back together with his wife and doesn't want to divorce her, then he could be with her. He doesn't need to marry again. I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you're saying. Now I understand. He does not need to. If a person decides to give his wife a get, and then he never gives the get, he is allowed to be with his wife if he changes his mind and decides to go back together with his get, with his wife. It's only when you're still thinking that you plan on divorcing your wife, then you're not allowed to be with her. But if you plan on, yes, getting back to her, that means you're reconciling. And then you are allowed to be with your wife. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? You see your next door neighbor, Mr. Cohn. You heard a rumor that he divorced his wife, and here you see them living together. Is this okay? So Shalach Lei, so the Rav who responded to the Shaila said, Teitse, we have to separate this couple, this Mr. Cohn and his, whatever she is, his ex-wife. We don't know if she's an ex-wife or his wife. We have to separate them. Teitse, she has to leave. V'hadover tzarech bedika. But this matter needs investigation. What kind of investigation? What do you mean? Mahi. Gemara says, it depends how people speak. What did you hear? Look at carefully at the words of the Gemara that from the previous paragraph. Yotza, a kol went out, that Ish Ploni Kohen, what did he do? He wrote a get to his wife. Do you get divorced if you write a get to your wife? No, writing a get doesn't divorce you. What divorces you? Giving a get to your wife. So if the rumor was very specifically, well, hold on, Yossi, 1 second, please. What was the rumor? The rumor was that he wrote a get? Well, maybe he wrote it and never gave it. So a rumor that a man wrote a get to his wife doesn't necessarily mean that he gave a get to his wife and that they're divorced. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. That's what Hadavar Tzarech Bedika. That's what we have to investigate. What exactly was this rumor? What exactly, how do people talk in your neighborhood, in your locale? Dikarulinasina ksiva. If in your locale, when people say he wrote a get to his wife, that means he gave her a get. Well, you think that when he said, oh, he wrote a get for his wife, that means he gave his get a wife. But how would they speak in that town if he wrote it and didn't give it? They would also say he wrote a get for his wife, but never gave it. So you can't rely on the language. So therefore, okay, let's move on. Frek the Gemara, a different point. I don't understand something. What's the concern here? The concern is that he gave his get of wife, let's say it really happened, and he took her back, right? That's what we're concerned with. And we're worried about the fact that there's a Kohen who is Machzir Grushaso, and a Kohen took his wife back, and that's okay? And you want to separate them because of a rumor? What do you mean? Teitze? V'ha'amar of Ashi kol kola debasar nisuin lo chayshin Allah. When do we listen to rumors? When do we take rumors seriously? We take rumors seriously and prevent somebody from getting married. But if a guy is married already, you're not going to separate him from his wife based on a rumor. If this Kohen is now living with his ex, maybe it was an ex-wife, maybe it's not an ex-wife, we don't really know, it's a rumor that they got divorced. But now they're living together again, it sounds like he probably took her back. So if it's only a rumor that he gave her a get, you can't separate someone who's already married from because of a rumor. I understand if there's a rumor that somebody's divorced his wife, we will say, and he comes to Israel, could I get married to my wife again? We won't let him go ahead and get married and take her back because of a rumor. But if they're already together, rumors are not enough to break a family apart. Okay. Without going into the details, we'll jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch, and then I'll take your question, Yossi. Yatza Kol. Okay, Shulchan Aruch passes. We're now up to Sif Gimel. A rumor goes out. Ploni Cohen girishes ishta. Mr. Cohen divorced his wife. Rehi yoshevas tachtav. And now we know that they're back together. So do we separate this couple? Ein motzin miyada. Why? Dilakala debasar nisuin o basar erisin lo chayshinan. If they already possibly got remarried or re-erisined, then we won't break something together based on a rumor alone. However, Vimes, let's say this guy that she was married to originally, and there was a rumor that he got divorced, that original husband died. Venises le Kohen Acher, and now she marries another Kohen. So when was the rumor? The rumor was before she married Mr. Kohen number 2. Then Teitze. Why? So Beishmuel explains. Legabe Hasheni, Heve kol shelifnei anisuin. Right now, we find her married to a second husband, a second Mr. Kohen, right? She has a thing for Kohanim. She likes Kohanim. I don't know, maybe she likes Kohanim, the Gemara says, are very, very excitable, and she likes, you know, that personality. She likes men who get really riled up. Men who have a little bit of an anger, she likes that type of guy. So she marries the first Kohen. There's a rumor that she got divorced, but they were living together afterwards. And then that first guy dies, and then she marries another Kohen. So even though we wouldn't break up a marriage based on a rumor, but here where the rumor came out before she married the second guy, then she shouldn't have married the second guy. And if she did, then we could break that marriage apart. We could say you have to leave your second husband because there was a rumor that you were a grusha before you even married him. That's what the Beis Shmuel explained. Legabi Hashem, Legabi the second husband, have a kol shelifnei nisuin. We won't break up a marriage based on a rumor. But if the rumor came out before she got married, and she did get married anyway, despite the fact that there was a rumor that she's a grusha, then we will break up a marriage that she has subsequently later. Okay. Yossi, what was your question before? Okay. We're going to do the next if also based on the similar discussion, and that will be the end of this first half of the shir about rumors. Yatza kol. Rumor goes out. Ploni kohen kasev ged l'ishto. You remember the word, the focus on the words? The rumor was that was not that he divorced his wife. The rumor was that he wrote his wife a get. So then the Shulchan Aruch is going to say, it depends on how people speak in your locale. If when you say he wrote his wife a get, that means he gave her a get, okay. That's a rumor of a divorce. If in your locale they say the words he gave his wife a get, so if he just wrote his wife a get, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a rumor of divorce. Maybe he just wrote a get. Plenty of people write a get and never actually give it. I don't know about plenty of people, but it could happen. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the rumor went out that he wrote his wife a get. Wrote. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Im korin ba'oso makom l'nesinas haget k'siva. If in your locale, you know, the way they say that he gave his wife, yeah, he wrote a get to his wife. That's how they say he gave a get to his wife. Afal gav del k'siva l'chudo nami koru k'siva. Even though sometimes you say he wrote it to mean just writing. But also when we say, like in our neighborhood, if our neighborhood, somebody says he wrote his wife a get, that probably means he gave it. Havikil yotza hakol ploni kiyush ishto, and that is a sufficient rumor to mean that he did divorce his wife. So even though the rumor only was a rumor that he, you know, it's in the newspapers that he wrote his wife a get, in the gossip section that he wrote his wife a get, that's considered enough in our neighborhood where that's an acceptable way of saying he gave his wife a get. That would be equivalent to a rumor that he divorced his wife. Okay, that we just did sif beis gimel dalid about rumors. Oh, one more line, I'm sorry. Vim ein kol nesinas haget k'siva. Let's say it's a locale where when they want to say that he gave his wife a get, they say he gave his wife a get. And if they would say only that he wrote a get for his wife, that doesn't mean that he actually gave it. So then we would assume that this rumor, which only consisted of the words that he wrote a get, that doesn't necessarily mean that he gave it. And therefore we will not assume that she's a grusha. Okay. That is the end of that part of the rumor. There's one more sif about rumors that we will... I'm sorry, we're not up to the second half of this year. There are going to be one more piece of about rumors. So here... okay. Here we have a Mishnah in Gin Peches Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about all kinds of different rumors, not just rumors about all kinds of rumors about marriage, divorce, you know, a lot of gossip. Nothing's too settled or founded on fact, but this is what people are to say. Yata shma b'yir mikudeshes. There's a rumor that so and so young lady is married. Okay, so we'll treat her. Harezu mikudeshes. Migureshes. There's a rumor that such and such lady is divorced. Harezu migureshes. But that's only if there was no amasla. Uvavad shlo yehei sham amasla. What does that mean? So the Mishnah is going to say, let's say everyone says, yeah, she got divorced, but there was a t'nai to the divorce. Oh, so if it's only a rumor, and there's a t'nai, and even the rumor acknowledges there was a t'nai or a question if it really happened, then we don't treat her like she's divorced. There's a rumor that so-and-so divorced his wife on a Tanai. So you don't know if the Tanai was fulfilled or not fulfilled. So if it's only a rumor, and there was a Tanai, even the rumor acknowledges there was a Tanai in the divorce, so we don't consider her divorced. Or another case when a Masla is, she's married, but the guy, the chassan, threw the ring to her, safik karavla, safik karavla. There's a rumor that she's married, and even the rumor is questionable because it might not definitively be a marriage because it's he threw the ring that might not have been close enough to make her actually be married. So these are examples of amaslas, and those kinds of rumors are not sufficient. Zarakla kidusheha, safi karavla, safi karavla. So the rumor is that he married a woman, but it might not have been a good marriage. So okay, that's not a rumor. That's not what we call an amasla, an excuse, and it's not a valid rumor. We're not going to be worried about it. Fine. Now, the Gemara is going to clarify the following. We said in the Mishnah that if there's a rumor that a woman is divorced, we consider her divorced. Can I ask you a question? That means that if she was married to a man, a Kohen, for example, and there's a rumor that goes out that she's divorced, we're going to consider divorced and break up this marriage? Says the Gemara. Vasrinan la agavra? So you're going to hear a rumor that she was divorced and thereby ask her to her husband? What do you mean? If a call goes out while she's married, after Nisuan, she's already married, and a call goes out, and a rumor starts, look, we're not going to break up a marriage based on rumor. Rashi explains, Kagon, im nises lekohen, she's married to a kohen now. V'yotel le'akol, shahoy sezona, o grusha, and while she's married to a kohen, a rumor emanates that says that she had been previously done something wrong, that she's invalid to be married to a kohen. She had a din of a zona, which we'll learn about later. Oh, she had been previously married. Lo mafkinan la, minei, we're not going to break up this marriage unless there are real witnesses. El be'edus brura. And so how do you plan on breaking up this marriage if it's just a rumor? Says the Gemara, hachi kamar. One second. The Gemara is going to say that we're talking about a girl who's not married. She's a single girl. Yata shma bi'ir mekudasha. So if you have a single girl that there's a rumor that she's married, then you assume she's married. If you have a single girl, listen carefully now, and then a rumor goes out that she got married and a week later got divorced. Okay, you hear that? There's a rumor about a girl in the neighborhood that she got married and she got divorced right away. Oh, that woman will be considered a grusha, right? We won't, if somebody's married to a kohen, we'll not listen to a rumor to say, oh, she's a grusha, you have to break up this marriage. But if you have a single girl, and you find out there's a rumor that the single girl got married and divorced, so then we'll take that you're not breaking up any marriages, she's still a single girl. She was single, she's single now, because there's a rumor that she got married and divorced. Why? That you will accept as a rumor. That rumor you will accept. Why? Because it's kol v'shovro ima. And the shovra, like the receipt, is with it. The rumor that she got divorced, that she got married, and that which broke the marriage, that divorce, is together. That we'll accept. We're not breaking up a marriage. Fine. Okay. So if there's a rumor that a woman got married and then got divorced, are we going to say she's a married woman, you can't go out with her because a regular guy will go out, a rumor goes out that the next door neighbor, the girl next door, Rachel, some girl Rachel in the neighborhood, there's a rumor that says that she got married and got divorced a week later. And now there's a guy in the neighborhood, could he go out with Rachel? Or do we say, well, there's a rumor that she's a married woman, you can't go out with her, she's a married woman. So the Gemara says, no, the same rumor that said that she was a married woman and you can't go out with her, said that she got divorced, which would mean you shouldn't be able to go out with her. So therefore, a stama guy, not a kohen, would be able to go out with her. Why? Because it's considered kol v'shovra imo. The kol that said that she's a married woman was with the shovra, that which broke it, the receipt that broke the marriage that said that she's divorced, so she'll be able to get married to a stama guy in the neighborhood. Let's jump to the Shulchan Aruch, and that will be the end of this section. Yatza kol al isha, sheniskadsha viniskarsha. So if a call goes out that a woman got married and divorced before she's not with a man yet, is she allowed to go ahead and marry a Kohen? Choshishin l'kol v'asur la'osur l'kon. Will not allow her to marry Mr. Kohen. Of course, if the whole rumor was a weak rumor, that the rumor had a masla to it, so a weak rumor, we won't rely on at all. V'davka shiyotza ha'kol, if it's a strong rumor, we have to be concerned with the rumor, if it's below a masla. Avalam yotza im ha'masla, for example, the whole rumor was that she got married or divorced al tanai. Go shiyotza ha'kol, shekidsha o gish al tanai. So if it's a rumor, and there's a question if it ever happened in the first place, like the rumor isn't even that she's divorced. The rumor is that he did some funny thing about divorce. He gave a get al tonight, he gave a kiddush al tonight. Then we're not going to be worried about such a rumor. Ein choshesh in the call. Okay, now a little bit of a more sophisticated permutation. V'yemiyesh amasla begerushin v'lo bekiddushin. Let's say there was a question if there's a rumor that she got divorced al tnai. Choshishin l'kol ha'kiddushin l'osa l'alma. Let's say like this. There's a rumor that this woman got married. There's a rumor that she got divorced, and it's not a good divorce. And it's a suffix, and it was a divorce al tanai. Okay, you hear it's a two-part rumor. The rumor has two parts. It says that she got married, and it says, but there was a divorce, but the divorce had a tanai. So that's a good call regarding the marriage. It's a weak call, a call that we wouldn't rely on, regarding the divorce. So legabi, the marriage, which was a good call, choshishin l'kol kiddushin l'osa l'am, we won't allow her to marry other people because there's a rumor that she's a married woman. But will this same call that had an aspect of a divorce al tanai, will that also be considered a call? Since the call about the gerushin had an amasla, it was a rumor and there was a weakness to the rumor because it was perhaps a gerushin al tanai, we won't consider asur l'kohen. Fine. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Fine. Let's just read the next line. We're not going to go into it. Davka shiyotza amasla im hakol miyad. When do we say that there's an excuse that says, oh, you don't have to worry about this rumor because there's an excuse, it's a suffix, it's not really sure, there was a tanai. That's only if the question mark was at the same time as the rumor, the rumor had the question mark. But if there was a solid rumor, a rumor is going around that she's married, that she's divorced, and then 3 weeks later there's a question, oh, but I heard another rumor that was she was divorced, or that was she was married, maybe it was al tanai. That's not going to weaken the rumor. That will not be mevatel hakol. That won't ruin the rumor. If you find that the rumor is entirely false, of course, what happens if you find the rumor and a rumor is false? Many rumors are false. So let's say there's a rumor that a woman's a grusha. And then it's found to be false. Could a kohen marry this girl? Of course. If there's a rumor that a woman is married, and then it's found out to be false, could you go ahead and date her? Of course you could date her, because she's a single woman. The rumor was found false. What is considered a rumor? What's not considered a rumor? Does a rumor mean the ladies, when they get their shaytel done, this is what they talk about? A rumor is something that appears on, you know, page 47 of the Newsday, or New York Post. What's considered a rumor? If it's in the entertainment section as opposed to in the business section, what's a rumor? Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'kol kol, any kol, shlo huchzuk beveistin, eino kol lachishlo. If a kol, I don't know how exactly a kol gets huchzuk beveistin, but it has to be a kol that's strong enough that it's accepted by the Bezdin as a reasonable or as a considerable kol, That's considered a rumor that we have to be concerned with. If not, then nothing to worry about. Fine. Finally, yotza le'akol chalutza. If there's a kol that she's a chalutza, and therefore she's also derabanan to marry a kohen, remember chalutza is like a grusha derabanan? It's also derabanan to marry a kohen. If it's only a kol that she's also derabanan, that we're not going to be worried about. We will permit such a woman who has a rumor that she's a chalutza, we will permit such a woman to marry a kohen. Now both say that's the end of that section. Not the most exciting, but Baruch Hashem, we did 3 seifim. Now we're going to get to an exciting case. Rabosai, what happens? This is Sifvav. It's not going to take so long, too long, but it is fabulously exciting. What happens if you know a Kohen did the wrong thing? Mr. Cohn, Mr. Katz, we told him not to. We told him not to, but she was such a good, you know, her chocolate chip cookies just ate their way straight to his heart. And she married him, he married her, and she's a grusha. What are we going to do with him? So, any suggestions what we should do with him? Any, Maish, what would you do with a guy who's Mr. Cohen who marries a grusha? What would you do with him, Maish? You know, you're very gentle, Yossi. We're not going to be so gentle. You give him an Aliyah for Yisrael. You're very gentle, Ellie. We're going to be a lot stronger than you. Okay, let's see what we do. So first of all, okay, fine. You're also very gentle. We're going to do a lot more than that also. Let's see. Okay. So says the Gemara Yevamos. This is not necessarily speaking about marrying a grusha per se. Minayim shim lo ratza. From where do we know? He asked the Gemara in Yevamos Peches Mabez. Shim lo ratza. If he doesn't want to listen to halachas of kahuna, dafna, that you push him. We'll define the word dafna momentarily. Tamulomar, we have a pasuk that says regarding a kohen, this is the source for all of these of treating a kohen with respect, with reverence. V'kidash to, you shall sanctify him. And the Chachamim understand that doesn't just mean that there's a mitzvah on you and me, us Yisraels and Levites, to be mechabit a kohen, but v'kidash to means you should force him to be kadosh. Baal karcho, enforce his kedusha. It's not just that he has to maintain himself in an elevated way. It's not just that we have to treat him with an elevated sense. It's that we can enforce his kedusha on him. V'kidashto baal kercho. We're going to force him to maintain his halachos. Zok Rashi, minayin shem lo rotze kohen lis kadish min atumah. He doesn't want to separate from tumah. There's a kohen who goes into a cemetery. Uminashim psulos, and he's going out with girls who are zonas or halalas or grushas. From where do we know that dafno? Zok Rashi, hakehu, that you could hit him. V'kadsho baal kercho. And you could separate him, sanctify him with his mitzvahs against his will. So that's what the pasuk tells us, that yes, you do. So Rashi already says that the word dafno doesn't just mean to push him aside, it means you could hit him. What does it mean to hit him? Now, Rabosai, let's see a shaila that happened many, many, many years ago. 1,000 years ago, that Rav Natronoi Gaon wrote. So the Beis Yosef quotes this Rav Natronoi Gaon, and Natronoi Gaon, again, he probably lived in the 900s or so before the Rishonim. The Gaonim lived before the Rishonim. And this is what he writes. How do you deal with the guy? And again, there is somebody in our community. I think I know 2 people in our community that are in this status. I'm not going to, if you know somebody, please don't say any names. But I believe I know 2 people in this local community within, let's say, 2 miles of where I'm standing right now, of that this halacha will apply to. Kotz Rav Natronoi. Kohen denosev grusha. O achas mi apsulos. Vishamisu yasei. And we chayrimed him. We did a shamta on him. Tre tlas zimni. 2 or 3 times. We put him in chayrim 2 or 3 times. Velo shavka. And he didn't leave her. He stayed married to her. V'amr, and he said, you know what? I'd rather have this nice girl then be a kohen. I'm giving up my kahuna. I'm renouncing my kahuna. V'amar lo nichali d'levei kohen. I don't need to be a kohen. Don't worry. I won't duchen. I won't get grishon. I won't do pidyon habenz anymore. But I got this girl, I'd rather have her than be a kohen. Is that acceptable? V'shamtinan le la'olam. We put him into cherem forever. Ad deparish minei. Until he separates from her, umegayishla, as we learned in our Gemara, kidashto bal karcha. That's case number one. Tshuva acheres lagon. Let's just do the second line. Let's say we're worried that he's going to move out. Rabosai, you're ready. Your eyes are going to pop out on the next line. Let's say we're worried that this guy, right? He married a grusha. He doesn't listen to us. He keeps his grusha. Okay, we're not going to let him duchen. But he says, it's getting too hot in this community. People are giving me problems. They don't like my wife, my choice of a wife. I'm just going to move out. I'll move somewhere else. I'll move to some other community. Remember, there was no WhatsApp and emails, and they couldn't send messages to the other community. What are we worried about? We're worried this guy's going to go to some other community where they don't know that his wife is really a grusha. It's just Mr. and Mrs. Cohen move into neighborhood. He comes in, hi, I'm Mr. Cohen. I want to go duchen. You know what we're going to do to him? Before he leaves, look at what Rav Netzer Nahi Gaon writes. Please don't do this nowadays because you'll be in jail very quickly. If you're worried that he's going to go to another city and do and do Birchas Kohanim, kaitzin le l'rosh etzba'aseh, you cut off his fingertips. You take a knife, take a blade, and you cut off those fingertips that he's going to duchen with. V'kaven be'muma. And you make sure that he's not going to be able to do, duchen because he has a mum. Can you imagine that? To make sure that he doesn't duchen somewhere else, you're going to cut off a finger. I hear what you're saying, but I guess it's not dash, because right when he comes to the town, he's already... I don't know the answer to your question. What's that, Yossi? Okay, I will not respond. That could be. It could be that this is like the universal sign that this guy married a kohen. Like if you know you have your pinky, your left pinky is missing, that was the universal sign of oh, he's a kohen who married a grusha. That could be. That's possible. Right, that could be. Okay, now Rabosai, we're going to have... Remember, this is a guy that's doing. He's a bad guy. He's not. He's married. He married someone he shouldn't have. We warned him. We put him in cherem, and now he's just trying to get the heat off and just move out. We're not going to let him do that. We're not going to let him just get away with things. Okay, well, that's a little bit too. We don't need to shoot him. We want to make sure that he. Okay, very good, very good. I like that. Okay, I want to finish today's shiur with a ramb. Who doesn't have to do tshuva? Let's say a man is married to a kohen is married to a grusha, and she dies. Will we allow him to duchen immediately? Or do we wait for him to do tshuva? So if his wife died, does he now come kosher l'kahuna again? Or was he... I'm not sure. Does he? If a kohen was married to a grusha and she died, did he become a chalal thereby, or only his kid becomes a chalal? No, Parsha could mean he's not going to live with her anymore. Doesn't necessarily mean that she died. Right, so he's separated from her. They're not going to live together. They have seven kids, so they're not going to, like, they have to take care of their kids, but she'll live down the block. He'll live on the other, She'll live upstairs. He'll live downstairs, and they'll give the kids breakfast and lunch in the dining room together. But they'll live on separate floors. Maybe that's Pirsha. Okay, Rabosei, I want to give you some show you some real life stories. I have the names with the names of the people. I know the name of the guy. I'll give you the name of the girl. Everything's going to be on the table now, and we're going to read what the Rambam wrote to somebody or about somebody in, I think, in not his community, but a different community, in the community in Mitzrayim and El Kahara. Where's El Kahara? Is that El Cairo? Yeah? El Kahara is El Cairo. Okay, great. So look at what the Rambam writes about this, how to deal with a person, a reticent Kohen who's married to a Grusha. This is a Shaila sent to the Rambam, and this is the Rambam's response. Al Kohen Shanasa Grusha, V'hechrim Shnei V'mitzrayim V'El Kahara. So they put him in Cheirem, and this happened in Cairo. V'shalacha Psicha. Psicha, I believe, is the Rambam's letter of Cheirem. L'mokom Sh'asa HaMaisara, where they said, where this terrible thing happened. And what did the Rambam write that they should do? V'shiacharimu osam bishmam, put them in a cherem with their name publicized. And this is what the community should do with such a couple. V'hecherem kol bar Yisrael bas Yisrael, it is prohibited on all Jews in that community, she'yisav yitin mehem, to do business with them, v'yochav yishta, v'yeshvim mehem tov tal ramas, you can't eat, drink, or stand within 4 amas. And you can't go to their weddings or the kids' marriages. You can't be menachem avel. Sheyia kahem will be like them. Anyone who does any business or any communication or any shaychus with this guy and girl, this Kohen and his prohibited wife, will also be in cheirem. Secondary cheirem. Umishi yishatef imahem b'chaim uvimaves. Fine. V'chayv liskol aronim kishiyomusu. When this man or woman die, you do skila to the aron, you put a stone on top of it. And at the kvura, ukvurasu yeh below tzid kadin, you don't say hatsura tamim palo when they bury the person. Not only that, ulharo simcha v'sazim ba'avdim. When they die, everybody should have a big party. And this lady, now we're going to talk to the women in the community. With the greatest strength, you should stay away from this. I don't want to use dirty words. This bad woman, you can't go next to her, you can't stay near her. I feel a little bit so you can't even go to in the same pool. And we have to be strong to make sure shenafrish v'navdil kol hakamim alav, anyone who goes against the Torah of Avraham HaMitzvah, mitzvahs, of anyone who goes against Hashem's mitzvah, we should not allow any connection to such a person, and we hope that these people do tshuva. Okay. Continues the Rambam. Ukshi yeshuvu. And let's say they do decide to do tshuva. Right? This work, the cheirem work, they do decide to do tshuva, he divorces her, they come to Beis Din. I say, okay, we did it, we had enough, you know, we're willing to do tshuva, we're going to divorce. Yilke kol echom he makas mardus. Give them makas mardus. These aren't makas midorais anymore. Makas mardus. And you take each one of them, guy and girl, Mr. Cohn and Mrs. X Cohn. Vishal kol echom he b'sefer Torah hamikudesh. They have to hold the sefer Torah and swear. Shelo yasu v'lasos k'may sazel le'olam. And he has to promise v'lo yisa nashem b'aver le'olam. And he has to promise that he's never going to do this again, never married a woman whom he's not allowed to marry again. V'yisvadu al avonu b'rabim, and they have to do vidu b'rabim, k'mo shemoru b'rabim. Just as they rebelled b'rabim, then we'll take off the cheirem. Then I guess he will duchen again, I assume. Right. Okay, let's say they go back and they get to, after they got the cheirem off them, they, you know, a few months later, they start hanging out together and they get remarried a second time. Uh-oh. Vim yasmidu b'meryam. Or maybe they just don't do tshuva and they continue. Todi'unu k'dei she'yetsu ha'psichin la'ayaros ha'kruvos or ha'chokos. you have to let everybody know in all the neighborhoods nearby, there's nearby communities, that this shouldn't happen, that they should go against the Torah, Chalila, Hashem, we should not bear this, and that's we have to take this very seriously. That's what the Rambam write. Now, do you want to know who these people were? Here we have the Rambam in a different that's actually the truth of the Rambam himself that I'm quoting now. But that was previous part was just the Beis Yosef citing the Rambam. Here the Rambam himself, I found the names. His name was Abu Elazar ben Natzer ben Shmarn. A nice Arabic name, a Jewish name from the Arabic, you know, that world. This guy, Radav Achra Yitzra v'halach b'shuiz libo, he just did what he wanted, he didn't care about halacha. And what did we do? Hotseinu Sefer Torah HaMekudosh. We took out a Sefer Torah, we made a chair with the Sefer Torah, Barabim Bekav Eid Bati Knesses B'Mitzrayim El Kara in Cairo. And who is this girl that he was hanging out with? Or the Grusha, we're calling her Azona. I think that's just like a not nice way of calling Grusha. Maybe she was Azona. Ubashem Hazona Shichid La Vehi. What's her name? Everyone want to know her name? Chosna Bas Ibn Elala. I'm not the best at the whatever. And those are their names, Rabosai. We have a name of a Kohen and his Zona from the time of the Rambam, 800 years ago. We know the name of the guy, the name of the girl, and we know the exact Cherem that the Rambam put on them. That's the Cherem that we just read together. That could be. Ubal harachmim erachapai, morach atam. The Rambam ends off with a tefillah, may Hashem, who brings the sinners back, yachzir lemutav, he should bring them back, v'yoro osam derech yishara, and he should teach them the right path, and take their lev even mibisaram umbibisarainu, and they should help them do tshuva, and amen ken yiratzon, Moshe ben Rav Maimon. Wow. You saw the names of the people, you saw the extent of the cherem, very serious, and the community is not supposed to turn a blind eye, the community is supposed to take it very seriously. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Kohen shenasa achas miapsulos, the Kohen who's married to a puzzle woman, macharim nosam, umachrim kol nosim nosim imahem, you not only put them in cherem, you put a cherem, anyone who's going to do business with them, etc., ad shigarshana. And adds the Beis Shmuel, not only a Kohen who marries a Grusha, but any Yisrael person who does this kind of thing, who marries a woman whom he's not supposed to. V'nirash afli Yisrael shenasi ish bavera, nami avdina lekol shmatos, all these shamtas, these cherems, v'nidui mekhfas and forcings. And we'll stop here with the lesson is, the moral of the story is, if you're going to marry a woman, make sure she's someone who you're allowed to marry.